You pray for me, brother. I sure need it.
God bless you.
Glad Sister Sharon and Gracie made it. Thank the Lord.
We had a problem. Yeah. Piper cried at first. I mean, it was very difficult to leave.
It was hard to leave, huh?
Yep.
Well. It's a bad thing and a good thing. So, nothing wrong with that. So. I sure need your prayers as I stand before you this afternoon. I thank the Lord for each of you that are here. I appreciate your faithfulness. Thank the Lord for you. I believe it's the drawing of the Lord that has caused you to be here and have a want to be here. And just give Him the glory and the honor and the praise for our fellowship and our friendship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I need your prayers, as I've already said, to be able to speak in His name, and you need the Lord's blessing in order to be able to hear the Word and feed on the Word. And all that we're doing here this afternoon is we're here to worship the Lord, but we need the Lord to bless us to be able to do that in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in His sight. He has promised where two or three are gathered together in His name that He would be in our midst. And so we can just count that as a surety. The Lord is present with us. If you're like me, though, I believe you are, we want to be able to see that. We want to be able to see His manifest presence and to feel that manifest presence as we've met. So let's pray that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down, and we're dependent upon that Spirit. The Spirit of God's in your heart. If you're born of the Spirit, He dwells in your heart, and He's ever present with you. And we pray that He'll just shower that manna on from on high down upon us so that we can feed on His Word. It's a wonderful thing to have Bibles that we can open and turn to. That which is preserved for us and kept for us, given to us by God, by inspiration, and kept and preserved. He's preserved His Word. He's kept His Word for us. So we're praying that the Lord would just be with us as we look at His Word for just a little while. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you from the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And this passage has been on my mind all week. And the Lord's blessed me with some good time of being able to read this passage and study the individual verses there. And it's been a blessing that I've been able to feed personally from the study of God's Word. And I surely encourage each of us to be students of His Word, to be readers of our Bibles, and to search His Scriptures. You get a whole lot out of just reading the Bible and looking at God's Word. And in doing that, it will also enhance or help when you're hearing the Word, when you're familiar with what you have before you, and the Lord many times will answer questions for you through the preaching of the gospel that the preacher really didn't have any idea or awareness at all that you had. But the Lord opens that door that when we're hungry and thirsty, He'll feed His little lambs and sheep. I know it's been the account of many that I've been reading. They've been reading passages throughout the week, and then the preacher would come in, sometimes from another state, somebody maybe you've never even seen before, and come to the pulpit and preach on the very things that have been on your mind. And that's not just happenstance. It's the Lord working in the preaching of the gospel. The Lord has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we recognize that the Lord could have done it many different ways as far as the way that He feeds His little lambs and sheep. When we tried to talk about Cornelius and how it was that Cornelius was fed by Peter being sent to him. Remember that Peter was moved and directed by the angel to go to Cornelius. By the Spirit of God, and Cornelius was directed to call for Peter by the angel. And what I think about that is that the angel certainly would have been able, if it had been God's will, to give the message to Brother Cornelius. But rather than have an angel do it, an angel, a messenger sent from heaven, he had called a preacher to do that. He'd called Peter to do that. So I believe our relationship is just that much led by God, that God leads men and calls men to preach the gospel. And then I believe the Lord also calls you and calls His children and gives them a hunger and an appetite for the gospel. And so when we sit down with our Bibles, it's the work of the Lord that allows us to go to the right place and speak the right words that would be just what is needed for a particular congregation at a particular time. So that's why it's very important for us to search the will of the Lord and ask Him to guide us and lead us as we're looking at the Word of God. This particular scripture, I'd like to read beginning at verse 8. He's talking to the Lord's people. He says that in verse 1 of Ephesians 5 and 1. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." He's not talking to the dead alien sinner here. He's talking to children of God that are born of the Spirit of God, that have been made alive by the work of God's grace. And he says to them in verse 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Whereby be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." This is instruction to God's little children about how you and I ought to live while we're here in this world. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." That's reminding us and telling us again where it is the Lord has brought us from, what our state would be had He not touched our lives. Now, there are many men that think they have life because they saw fit to choose to have life. And they think they love the Lord because they saw fit to choose to love the Lord. And they think heaven's going to be their home because they made a choice, and the right choice, to follow and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what He had done for them, they'll be with Him in heaven because of what they did in embracing Him. In reality, we were not only in the dark, we were not only outside of not only did we not have the ability to know the things of God, we didn't have any will or desire to know the things of God. We were in complete darkness, separated from God, separated from the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and without hope, and without God in the world. Over in the third chapter, the second chapter, he talks to those Gentiles that had been touched by the grace of God. And over in the second chapter, in verse 12, he tells them, or at verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ. And that is before the Lord dealt with us and before the Lord worked in our hearts, before the Lord gave us life. We were dead in trespasses and in sins and had no desire for the things of God. We were not only in the dark, we were sometimes darkness. And he says that at that time when we were in that state of darkness, when we were dead in our sins, we were without Christ. And that doesn't mean we weren't in the choice of Christ before the foundation of the world. There's a sense that God's little children have never and will never be without Christ. But in our relationship to Him and our knowledge of Him and our understanding of Him, no one could have come to us and convinced us that Jesus Christ is who He is and we'd be able to believe it and embrace it. Until the Lord first worked on us, we could not know or understand those things. The eye had not seen it, nor the ear heard it, neither had entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that loved Him. And we would not have known that had He not revealed Himself unto us by His Spirit. And that was done in the new birth when we were born again and made alive. That new birth didn't happen when you and I made a confession of a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we would have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we would have not confessed that had He not first worked on us to give us the faith to believe it and the mouth to say it and the heart to understand it. It took the work of God first. And if we get that cart before that horse, then you'll be confused about how it is God has saved His people and lose a great deal of the joy that you can have as a little child of God here in this world. Salvation is not a joint effort between man and God, but it is the work of Almighty God. Salvation is of the Lord. And I'm thankful to be able to say that, but whether I say it or not, it's still the truth. And it should be said because it is the truth. God's little children, outside of the grace of God, they were without Christ. They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We didn't even have natural ties to the commonwealth of Israel. We were not even the sons and daughters of Abraham. We didn't have what the Jews had in the covenant blessings that came under the old law service. There were blessings they had in a natural way, just being the children of God in a fleshly sense. He was watching over them and took care of them as a nation. He fed them in the wilderness. He took care of them all the way to Canaan's land. The Lord did not leave or He kept His promise to the nation of Israel. But we were outside of that, even as Gentiles. We didn't even have that connection. And he goes on and he says, you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. That means we didn't know about them. Well, we didn't understand them. We didn't have a clue about them. And here's what we would be. He says, having no hope. Boy, that's a sad commentary. But that's where we would be. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. That at that time ye were. Aren't you glad that it says ye were? That ye were. Because no longer are we that way. And because we're not that way, the fifth chapter comes and tells us you ought to be like this, because you were here, but now you've been made this. You were this way, but now this work has been done. And because this has been done, there is much that you and I ought to be doing as God's little children to walk in a way of obedience, in honoring and praising our Lord. There is much that we ought to be doing. Because we were here, but now you've been made light in the Lord. He goes on in verse 13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus. Oh, that every blessing comes in Christ Jesus. I don't care what blessing that is. Both natural blessings are in Christ and spiritual blessings are in Christ. Every good thing I have in my life is because there was a Savior who loved me. My hope and trust is that He loved me, that He was willing to die in my room instead, and He has daily loaded my life with benefits and blessings because of Jesus Christ and what He did for me. What that simply says is I didn't merit any of them. I didn't deserve any of them. What I deserved was to still be in verse 12 Still be in Ephesians verse 2, where I was walking according to the course of this world and the prince of the power of the air, and I was a child of disobedience, even as others. And I had my conversation, that is my lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, and we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we all of us together, that is every man, woman, boy, and girl, were by, and that's Jew and Gentile, were by nature, the Apostle Paul included himself in this, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That means we would be worthy, if we got what we deserved from God based on what we merited and what we earned, if we would be the recipients of the wrath of God. But God, thanks be to God, His grace, and He goes on in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, and He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." That's why He did what He did. It wasn't because I loved Him, it's because He loved me. It wasn't because you loved Him, it's because He loved you. He was rich in mercy for His love. He was rich in mercy and for His great love. It wasn't just a little love He loved you with, but He loved you with a great love, an unconditional love, a love you cannot be separated from. Because of that great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that's where we were when He loved us. Can you see that? It wasn't when we loved Him, He loved us. We love Him because He first loved us. It was even when we were dead in sins and He had quickened us, that is, He has made us alive together with Christ. When did He do that? When has He quickened us? Well, in a sense, when Jesus rose again, Jesus died and He rose again, in a sense, we were in Him, and it's, as Brother Smith said so wonderfully on Saturday, it's as if it's already done. It's as good as done. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's little children getting to heaven is as good as done as Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father right now? If Jesus is there as our head, He is there as our representative, He is there as our advocate, He is there as our mediator, He is there as our intercessor, He's seated on the right hand of the Father, and us being in heaven is just as sure as Jesus and being there on the right hand of the Father. It's just that sure. No, it hasn't happened yet. Brother Carol Newman used to say it this way, we're waiting on time, just waiting on time, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. At the appointed time of the Father, every one of God's little children are going to be gathered together, and we're going to be made like and fashioned unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be with Him in heaven without the loss of one. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, that ought to make a difference on how you and I live every day. That knowing that ought to make a difference. We're obligated we owe it to our Heavenly Father in a way of adoration and praise for that to make a difference in our lives, in the way we act, in the way we talk, in the way we respond to others, in the way we communicate with our family and our friends and strangers, and the way that we live our lives. As we sang and do sing, Jesus paid it all, and all to Him we owe. He says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh." How? How are we made nigh? By the blood of Christ. That's how we're close to Him, the blood of Christ. "For He is our peace." I hope He's your peace today. I hope He's your peace. That you realize there's no peace in what I've done for the Lord, but there's a lot of peace in what He's done for me. And because of what He's done for me, I want to be about my Father's business. I want to be doing those things and proving those things that are acceptable in His sight. And do you see how that changes every work that you do in the service of God? Because it ceases to be about how do I get to heaven, which so many people, so many of even God's children, are endeavoring to do things today in order to make their heaven a little, either to send some treasure up there or make some blessing be there that's not going to be there, but they see their efforts and their works as making heaven more sure for them, when the reality of it is, you cannot make heaven more sure for the Lord's people than it already is. And as a matter of fact, when you work things in your life to please God, if it's not altogether about pleasing God, if it's about making heaven sure for you, or if it's about making your own righteousness be that which is acceptable in the sight of God, it's not only not pleasing, it's not only not working, it's displeasing to God when we don't acknowledge His righteousness. I hope this is making sense. In other words, if we don't understand today, it's everything that He's done that gives me any blessing, even timely. If it was not for the blood of Jesus, I wouldn't have a little old primitive Baptist church where I could come. I wouldn't have dear friends that I meet here. I wouldn't have brothers and sisters in Christ. I wouldn't have the songs that we sing. I wouldn't have the Bible that we read from. I wouldn't have any hope of being with Him in heaven. And I wouldn't have any hope of any timely blessing here. And even the clothes on my back and the food that's on my table and every natural blessing that I have in my life, all of them have come to us through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the reason even the planet exists today. Even that we're even here. The Lord is the one. You know, some people at this time of year say you want to be reminded that the Lord is the reason for the season. Well, He's the reason for every season. He's not just the reason for this time of year. But He's the reason we're here. He ought to be our all in all. He ought to be the focus of our lives. And I'm not saying I'm hitting that mark. I'm saying to you, the Apostle Paul laid that out, and we're duty bound to preach that and to teach that to God's little children, not to make their life a burden, but to allow us to see what a joy it is. What a liberty comes. What a blessing it is when you recognize every day of my life isn't about me, it's about Him. So that when things don't go so smooth, and I guarantee you, if your day's gone pretty smooth, it's just because you haven't lived enough of it yet. You're going to have a bump in the road. You're going to have things that are going to hit you. And sometimes it's going to hit you hard. How do we stand up when it hits you hard? Well, when it's built on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is hearing His Word and doing what He says, then your house will stand when the storms rage And the winds blow and the rain falls, and those who've been through those trials will testify with me with a hearty amen. The Lord will take care of you. Y'all say that? Will He take care of you? Has He taken care of you? He surely has. And I don't know what storms are coming this week for you or for me, but I know they're coming as sure as we're breathing air. But I'll tell you what, we've got a God who loved us so much that when we were darkness, we were made light in the Lord. He goes, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Now get that word, sometimes. That means you and I ought not be walking in the dark now. And I'm back to verse 8 of chapter 5. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now," that means this moment, "ye are light." Are ye light in the Lord? Well, how did I get to be light? Did I light myself up? No. There might be a lot of Armenian folks that want to tell you can light yourself up. You can blow on the sparks that are there. I hate to tell you, there's no sparks. You don't have a starter. You don't have the fuel. You don't have any. There's no potential for light. And if you try to get that, you're just as empty and dead as you were before. There's no way that we can get on track. Listen. Even if you have the hunger, if you have the desire, if you have the want to, if you have any of that, all of that's come because the Lord has already given you some measure of light. And that light comes in the new birth. Who is the light of men? Jesus says He was the light. He was the life and the light of men. He's the light of the world. And I'll tell you, He says, "But now are ye light?" How? How are you light? In the Lord. He's quickened you and He's made you alive. And then comes the duty and the responsibility. He says, "Walk as children of light." And He goes on and He says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That is what God works in you. Notice there's not anything that God works in you that's wrong. We can't blame God for any of the wrong parts. Somebody might say, well, God predestinated all of that. Listen, all of the wrong parts, all of that didn't come out of God. That's out of us. What He has put in us, what He has worked in us is, what did He say? The fruit of the Spirit. That is what's produced from the Spirit. That is what comes from the Spirit. The work of the Spirit in you. What does that work in you? It works in you goodness, and it works in you righteousness, and it works in you truth. If you have any goodness in you, it came from the Lord. If you have any righteousness about you, it's the righteousness of Christ that came from the Lord. And if you know any truth or have any understanding of the truth, it comes from the Lord. Every good thing comes from the Lord. I think of that 23rd Psalm, and I believe it's verse 3. We'll turn to that very quickly. The 23rd Psalm in verse 3, he said, He restoreth my soul, and He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, if the Lord's leading us today, it's going to be on the right path. God never leads you down the wrong path. God never leads you in the wrong way. Whatsoever God says, we ought to do. Because everything He always says is right and good, and we ought to be about that. And so we can count on what He's told us in His Word as being good for us and beneficial to us. Even if it brings on temporal hardships and problems, it'll be good for us if we do what the Lord tells us to do. We're not to argue with the Word of God. And sometimes we want to do that. Especially when it tells us to do things that we really don't want to do. If it tells us to turn the other cheek, sometimes that's hard to do. If it tells us to pray for them that despitefully use you, that's sometimes hard to do. If it tells you to love your enemies, if it tells you to do whatever the Lord has told us to do, He will give us the grace to do it and the ability to do it, and we'll be happy when we did it. And if we don't do it, we'll be sorry that we don't do it, and we'll miss some blessings that the Lord has for us and has in store for us if we fail to walk in obedience to what He's told us to do. He's given us life in order that we might live it in a way to bring glory and honor and praise to His name. That's why He said, walk as children of light. And for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And that means when we walk after the Spirit, we walk in righteousness. Sounds like a good way to live, doesn't it? That means we walk in the... And that doesn't mean you and I get good enough that we're able by that to go to heaven. It means the righteousness of God. Really, to walk righteously before God, what is the work of God? That we might be righteous before Him. One of the brethren said it, I believe it was maybe in the prayer, Brother Charles in his prayer said it. We're to believe Him more. I want to believe Him more, don't you? I want to believe what He said more. Now, we ought to be believers here today, but we ought to believe Him more than I want to believe Him more than I do. There are sometimes I'm believing, but then when I look at my actions, there's sometimes I'm not believing. Sometimes when somebody misspeaks or does something against me, I want the old flesh to rise up, and the next thing you know, I'm not acting like a believer. I'm acting more like the world. Does that fit anybody here? Does that fit us sometimes? If it don't, tell me it doesn't, because you know we know the flesh. We know what we need, and the Word of God says we need this. We need to remember who we are. And remember the Lord is with us. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit and the marrow and the bone. And He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And all things are naked and open with Him with whom, get this, we have to do. Listen, you might think I can get by. Nobody's seeing me. I don't have any old Baptists looking at me right now. So I can just lay this person out that said that to me or acted this way. And who's going to know it? No old Baptists are seeing me. I wouldn't dare act like that in front of church folks. But because the church folks aren't here, I'll just lay it out. I wish it didn't hit home. But it hit home. It hits home with me. What I need to remember, that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good, the evil and the good. And all things are naked and open with Him with whom we have to do. And I owe Him every day, 24/7, every hour, because he has been so good to me. I was darkness. I wasn't just in the dark. I was darkness, but I believe in my heart that he's given me light, and I've been made light in the Lord, and therefore, as one of his little children, I have a duty and a responsibility to walk in a way that I'm walking as a child of light. That's what he said in verse 1 when he said, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." In other words, as Jesus lived, we ought to want to live. Now, will we ever reach that exact... will we ever get... no. We'll be battling that. But I say to you today, let's fight the good fight of faith. Let's press to do it better. Let's press to pray to God for forgiveness and ask God, help me to behave and respond and live in this world more like one of thy little children, that I might walk in a way to bring glory and honor and praise to thy name. Because that's going to be the best way to live, because the fruit of the Spirit is in what? Goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, I say to you today, if our life was about goodness and righteousness and truth, we're doing all right no matter where we are. We're doing all right. And I say doing all right, and all of that is how? By our efforts? No, by the grace of God. Even what we do, it's still when we've done all that, if we could do this perfectly, which we won't do, but if we could, we're still to say this, I'm but a what? An unprofitable servant. I've simply done that which is my duty to do. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. In other words, there are some things that are acceptable unto the Lord. And we need to be trying them. We need to be doing them. Just try them. Do what the Lord's told you to do. Be humble and walk in humility and meekness. And beg the Lord to make it, you know, if you just put it on as a, you can put it on as a false coat. You can just put that on the outside, and it's not real. It's not God honoring either. And he, eyes of the Lord to every place, and he knows that. So Lord, it's about praying, Lord, help me to be what I'm supposed to be. If you're like me, and I believe you are, we don't really have a clue what all of that means, but as we look at his word, we'll get the direction that we need about what we ought to be doing. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that is, we're not to go into those things even a little bit. He lays out much of what that is at the beginning of the fifth chapter. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And I love this verse because it says, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. In other words, how are we going to be acceptable before God? Through the blood of Jesus, which has been offered unto God. He didn't offer himself into the world, but he offered himself unto the Father. And it's a sacrifice that's gone to God the Father. And it's a sweet-smelling savor unto him, which means God was pleased with it and settled with it. God, the wrath of God has been appeased and satisfied. Jesus has finished the work. And he says, but because of that, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Those things should not be a part of our lives. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, that means not proper, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater had any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. What that means is, unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, unless those have been paid, bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, any of those sins, any sin whatsoever, will keep us from having fellowship with God in heaven. It also is saying to us in the church kingdom here below, it will hinder our fellowship and our communion with the Lord, and we'll have no inheritance, or that is a part. And whether the church takes action and removes our name, or whether we're on the church book and we act and behave that way, we will miss the blessings. And it is not to be part. We're not to have any part with it at all. Now sometimes we think, I got all of this under control. Listen, oh, how easy can those things creep in. How easy. He went down to either filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This is talking about how we talk with one another and live with one another and communicate with one another. And we must be very, as he said, walk circumspectly. Again, we're not putting God's little children in some constrictive box to live in where you can't enjoy life. We're talking about the path of goodness and righteousness and truth. He leads us in what? In the path of righteousness. So the way the Lord has laid out for us to live is so much better than the way you and I would have chosen on our own. God's way is the right way. It's a straight and it's a narrow path that leads unto life. And there's a way that seemeth right unto man, don't we know about that, which leadeth unto death. In other words, it just seemed like the right thing to do. Have you messed up ever in your life by doing what you thought seemed to be the right thing to do at the time and at the moment? Oh, how many lives have been ruined just in a moment? We hear so much of it today. Somebody in a moment of anger pulls out a gun and shoots somebody just because they cut them off midstream in traffic. Somebody said, well, where does that come from? I'm telling you where it comes from. It comes from that old nature that's in us, that if we don't keep it down and keep it under, those things can fall right into our camp. And the next thing you know, we'll find ourselves involved in things that we would have never been involved in. How do we stay away from that? Do we have the strength in ourselves to stay away from that? I said to you, absolutely not. Because without the Lord, what are we? We're darkness. And in us, there's no light at all. In Him is light, and there's no darkness in Him at all. But in us, by ourselves, we are altogether darkness, and there's no light in us. The only light we have is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is, He's the light of the world. And because He's the light of the world, when we walk and follow after Him, we become the light of the world. And we're not to put that light under a bushel. We're not to let the old man block it out and rob us. But we're to walk in the new man. Walk, as he said here in verse 22 of chapter 4. He says that you put off concerning the former conversation, that is the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt. That tells us what it is, according to the deceitful lust, and that we're renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is, we walk in that new creature that we are made in the new birth. And he goes on and he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And I think today of how much is even talked about that at one time our forefathers wouldn't even have dared bring up or mention. And now we can talk about it sometimes without the first blush. You know? How desensitized we have become to sin. And our nation is so filled with it and so full of it. Can that enter into our lives even when we are opposed to it, and yet it creeps in? He said, be not conformed to this world, which we can become, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things are reproved, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. I believe when we preach the word, we're preaching the truth. And I believe the truth is a light that shines in this world. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And that's why we need a lot more preaching. We need a lot more of the word of God. We need to hear preaching. We need to hear preaching that tells us about God's grace, that will take care of us after this life is over, but also tells us about God's grace that will lead us to live lives that are pleasing to God while we live here in this world. We need grace for dying, but we need grace for living. We don't need less grace. We need more grace. We need to preach more so that we might understand how is it that I'm equipped to live in this old evil world and walk in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. It's not because you get it together. You know, what was it Brother Jamie said a few weeks back? I got this mentality. Just don't worry about it. I got this. You're in trouble when you start saying, I got this. What we need to remember is that the Lord's got this. It's in the Lord's hands. He will give me the strength. He will give me the ability as I look to Him. And He says, wherefore He saith, awake thou that sleepest. God's little children, they're not dead, but they're alive, but they can go to sleep. They can go to sleep spiritually speaking. To where they look like the world, they act like the world, they think like the world. And let me say it this way. We look like the world, we act like the world, we think like the world. And it's the difference between saying they and we, because this comes home to each of us. It can so easily creep into our lives. When we fit right in with the world. In other words, I'm just one of the crowd. Don't want to stand out at all. Listen, God's little children stand out. We heard Brother John preaching so ably today about Caleb and Joshua. And don't you think they didn't stand out from the 12 spies that went into the land? Two of them stood out. You know why two of them stood out? Because they said, we're going to do what the Lord tells us to do. Everybody else says, oh, we saw the same land they saw, and yes, that's a good land, but there's giants over there. And that's what they said. The crowd said that. 10 said that. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, there's giants over there, but the Lord's going to deliver us. The Lord, they're going to be bread for us. The Lord's going to take care of us. God's promised us. Let's do what God said. And in other words, Caleb said, let's do it now. Let's go enter and do it now. But they said, but the children of Israel didn't want that. No, so what they got was 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Where Brother John said it was about a 12-day trip. They could have been in the promised land. But the Lord said, okay, you're wandering in that wilderness for 40 years and none of you are going to see that land. But two of them did. And that was Joshua and Caleb. But but they stood out, didn't they? They stood out. And how did they stand out? Said, because we want to stand out. We want to be somebody. No, I believe they were humble little servants that said, we're going to do what the Lord tells us to do. Brethren, we will stand out if we do what the Lord tells us to do. You don't have to worry about, am I a witness for the Lord? Am I? You'll be that witness and that test as you wear the gospel and live with the Lord, as the Lord has told us to live and act and behave, you'll look different, act different, and behave different than you would otherwise. Because He leads you in the paths of righteousness. And who does He do that for? So that we can pat ourselves on the back? No, He does it for His name's sake. And that's what Joshua and Caleb was concerned about, the glory of the Lord. May the Lord bless us to apply that same lesson to our lives today. When He says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Not that you were dead, but you're living among the dead. No, that you look like the dead, you act like the dead, you talk like the dead. You're God's children. Walk as children of light. Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Did He say life? No, because you already have life, but Christ's going to give you light. Don't we need light? You know, when you walk in the light He's given you, you know what He does? He gives you more light. He allows you to see more light. Want to see more, want to know more, have more hunger. The more you come to the Lord's church, the more you want to come. The more you learn, the more you want to learn. The more often you're here, the more you want to be back and you want to get more. And the other works just as well. When we start staying away, the next thing you know, we don't even know that we've missed anything because we just start fitting in. We just start fitting in. And it's not like we intend that to happen, but that's what happens with God's little children. When He put the armor on us, He didn't give anything on your back. In other words, you're to move forward. We're to be moving forward. If we're not moving forward, we're not just standing still. We're going backwards, and there's no armor on the back. We want to be moving forward in the service of the Lord to His honor and to His praise and to His glory. He says, arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly. That means you're watching where you're walking. It happens when we just stop watching. you know, if I just say, well, I'm just not careful about how I act and how I talk and how I behave. And again, this is a path of righteousness, so it's the right thing to do. It's a good thing to do. It'll bring more joy and rest and peace to your life. He says, see, you walk circumspectly, not as fools. Fools don't, they just go right on in. Don't even worry about it. Let it, what be, what will be. You know, let the chips fall where they may. Listen, we're to try things by the Word of God. Is this the right path for us to go? Is this what we ought to be doing? Are these the words that I ought to be saying? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Lord, give me those things that are going to be pleasing to thee. And he says, not as fools, but as wise. And the wise man, remember, is the one who hears the words of Jesus and does those things and builds his house upon the rock. And when the storm comes, the house is going to stand because it's built upon the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, redeeming the time. I've thought of this passage often. How much time in this world have we just let pass and we're not having redeemed? And your life is short. It's just here for a while. It's but a vapor. And it soon vanishes away. And there's a whole lot of time we waste. I don't remember ever going to an old Baptist meeting where I felt like it was a waste of time. I don't remember any time I visited a hospital or nursing home to visit one of God's little children that I felt like it was a waste of time. I don't remember any time that I've opened my Bible and made an effort to study that even when it came back and didn't get very much that I felt like, well, that was a waste of time. I don't remember any of that, but I can tell you multiple things that I've done in my life that at the time I thought was really a good time that turned out to be just a waste of time. When we walk as the Lord has taught us to walk, we redeem the time. We live our lives in meaningful ways. We do things that are pleasing to and acceptable unto God. We redeem the time. Redeeming the time. And there's a reason to redeem the time, and we certainly would all amen this. Would you all agree today because the days are evil? You know, the Apostle Paul said, even in this day, the days were evil. If the days were evil in his day, I surely think we can look at the world we're living in today and say, the days are evil. The days are evil. But I'll tell you what, there's time to be redeemed. There's time not to be wasted. And that's the life the Lord has given us. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And there's been too many days that I've lived that hasn't been, it may have been what was in my mouth, but it wasn't what I lived. And that doesn't mean God failed. Doesn't mean His Word failed. It means I just didn't walk in with the wonderful truth and deliverance He gave me. He says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How can I understand the will of the Lord? By getting in His Word. By feeding on His Word. I'm going to give you one quick verse. I know time is moving on, but over in Psalm 119, this verse has been on my mind this week. He says in verse 9 of Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Well, I'm not a young man, but I sure need to cleanse my way. He says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can a young man cleanse his way? How can we do that? He says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. In other words, let this be my guide. And he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Notice again. And if you look at this Psalm 119, it's filled with the commandments and the word of God. Verse after verse after verse talks about the commandments, the judgments, the word of God. It talks about the blessings that God's word is to God's children and how we need it to guide and lead our lives. And then he comes down to verse 11 and he says, thy word, get this, have I hid in my heart. Do we need to do that? Yes. It's not just to be in our memory, but in our hearts because it leads us and guides us. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I pray that's our prayer today. Lord, teach me. Teach me when to be quiet, when to talk. Teach me how to say what I need to say in the right way. Teach me how to talk to my children, to my grandchildren. Teach me how to how to live with my neighbor. Teach me how to live in this old evil world that is seemingly gets. Sometimes it gets me so angry. I can watch the news and come away angry. And isn't the world filled with angry people today? Sure it is. And I'm right there among them. Sometimes I look just like them, act just like them. Care what side of the fence you're on? Get right there. The Lord says, "We're not. You're light. Listen, the darkness. That's fine. That's what they are. That's what they do. That's where you were. But you're not there anymore, and we're not to be there." He says to be angry and sin not. I think there's a righteous indignation that God says we ought to have about unrighteous things, but we're not to sin, and we can go too far with that. You see what I'm saying? We ought to be upset when we see evil seemingly triumph. We ought to be upset about that, but we can go too far with that. How do we know the difference? By the Lord. And He says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine." I think that's pretty self-explanatory. "Wherein is in excess." It means don't drink too much. And don't get drunk. And you know how we act. We can do that with anger and other things. Have you seen and with covetousness? I've seen people drunk with the things of this world, haven't you? And how easy can we become that way? And He says, "Be not drunk," but He says, "But there is something to be filled with." What's that? With the Spirit. You can't get too much church. Can't get too much of your Bible reading. Can't get too much of your fellowship with the Lord. Can't get too much of that. Can't go overboard in those things. Be filled with the Spirit. He says, verse 19, and this is what we do in our hymns, our song service. He says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Have you ever had a service just bless your heart? Just it seemed like the song service. Sometimes even when the preaching can seem a little dry and dull, sometimes the songs, the hymns that are sung and the singing of the hymns and just hearing those words just speak to you and feed you, you already get a blessing. It should prepare you for the preaching of the gospel, but it's the gospel being declared in song. You're speaking, and we're speaking to one another and speaking to the Lord, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we're singing and making melody in your heart. And over in Colossians 3:16, it says, "With grace." We sing with grace in our hearts about the grace of God. And we're singing who? To who? To the Lord. Remember that. We're not singing to one another. We're speaking to one another, but we're singing to the Lord. And what is that about? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Count your blessings. You name them one by one. And you'll have so much to thank the Lord for on your worst day. Just thanking the Lord for all that He's done for you. And we do it how? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can approach God, and it's the only way we got any good things. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're to submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God. This is about being at one another's feet. This is being at forgiving one another and loving one another and seeing ourselves as the least among the brethren and remembering what we are and who we are. And how it is we have any good thing, and it's all by the grace of God that we do. And the wisdom of this world will puff you up. The wisdom that comes from the Lord will humble you down. It'll bring you low. You can kind of judge what your wisdom is. If you think you're all that, you got the wisdom of the world. It's not true, no matter what you think about it. But if you understand I'm nothing without the Lord, that's the wisdom that comes from the Lord. May the Lord bless us with that, because then we're at our brethren's feet. I know I've said a lot of things today that have been in a practical way. I don't want you to think for a moment that I don't need this more than anybody here, because I do. Sometimes I'm even hesitant about talking about some of these things because of how inadequate I feel in my own efforts to do them. But I want you to know they're still the truth, and they need to be taught. And we need to practice them. Not only to be hearers of the word, but to be doers. Because we owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. How good He's been to us. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you. 89.
89? 489. 489.